The United States contains 5% of the world's landmass and 5% of the world's population and generates 30% of the world's economic activity and 50% of its wealth, which means there are more possibilities and opportunities for you to make more money here and now than any place else in the world and than in any other time in human history. In the year 1900, there were 5,000 millionaires in America. By the year 2000, there were 5 million millionaires, most of them self-made, which means they started with nothing when they began their careers and achieved all of their wealth in the course of their working lifetime. That's an increase of 1,000 times in 100 years. Now you think, well, with the economy crashing with the dot-com bust and everything else, things would slow down, which it did in 2001, 2002. In 2003, 2004, the number of millionaires in America jumped by 2 million. It jumped by 33%. In other words, more people became wealthier faster than at any other time in human history, and it's actually starting to explode. We have an $11 trillion economy that's growing at about $500 billion a year, and all of that money is going through somebody's hands, and it might as well go through yours. And my job is to help you not only hold out your hands, but keep your fingers together so you hold on to some of that. Is that a good goal? Say yes. All right. Well, the average income today in America is about $36,000, highest in the world. They compare the United States and Europe. The average standard of living in Europe is equal to that of Louisiana. It is lower than that of 49 other states in the U.S. We have a fabulous standard of living. And here's another interesting thing. The rate of wealth creation in any country is determined by the number of new businesses that are being formed in that country relative to the number of businesses in existence. In the United States, we have 2 million new businesses being formed each year. There's over 25 million businesses already, and this is a greater rate than any other country in the world. The OECD of Paris has announced for the second year in a row that the United States is the most entrepreneurial and most dynamic economy on earth today. And even though China is growing very rapidly, it's growing from a very, very low base, whereas the U.S. is growing from the highest base of all and is expanding at an even more exponential rate. So your job and my job is going to be to become financially independent. And please understand that America was set up for people who start with nothing. Almost all of us start with nothing, including myself. And the only question is, do you remain with nothing? Do you stay with nothing? So let me tell you a little bit about my background so that you'll understand where I'm coming from. I did not graduate from high school. I finished in the half of the class that makes the top half possible. I went out, and the first job and the only job I could get was washing dishes in the back of a small hotel on the night shift. I used to work till sometimes 2 or 3 in the morning, cleaning up after the banquets and scrubbing the floors. And when I left my dishwashing career, I washed cars in a car lot, and then I washed floors with a janitorial service. I thought washing was in my career. For the first few years of my adult life, I worked as a laborer. I worked on farms and ranches. I worked in the brush with a chainsaw. I worked in factories, stacking wood and putting nuts on bolts. I worked as a crewman, a galleyman in the North Atlantic, which is the lowest level of the totem pole in the merchant marine. And gradually, by the time I was 23, I was uneducated, I was unskilled, and I was once more unemployed. And so, having no other prospects at all, I got into sales. And in sales, at least it was clean work, I spun my wheels. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no education, no skill. So I used to run from place to place so I could be rejected more often. Over the years now, I've trained hundreds of thousands of salespeople. And one of the things that I found is that most salespeople start off the same way. They're not necessarily afraid to work, but they don't get any sales instruction. I got the 3-part sales training program, which is common in most American companies and most companies worldwide. Here's your cards. Here's your brochures. There's the door. So I used to run from place to place. I get up earlier and earlier in the morning. Sometimes I work till 9 or 10 o'clock at night knocking on doors. And I wasn't making any progress at all until finally I went to one of the top guys in the company and I said, "What are you doing differently from me?" This guy was making 5 or 10 times as much as anyone else. And he said, "Well, show me your sales presentation and I'll critique it for you." And I said, "You show me yours and I'll show you mine," because I knew there was such a thing as a sales presentation. I'd just never seen one before. And I said, "By the way, how do you define a sales presentation?" And he said, "Well, a sales presentation is a logical and orderly process where you, first of all, separate prospects from suspects. You build rapport with them so that they like you and trust you. You identify their needs, find out what they're doing relative to what we're selling. You show that our product is the best product for them at this time, all things considered. You overcome their objections, you close the sale, and then you get resales and referrals from the same people. Well, now, I never had any idea that there was a logical order to selling. And when I learned that, it was like a flashbulb went off in my brain. And I was never the same again. Because what it taught me was the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect. It says that for everything that happens, there's a reason. And if you can be clear about what it is that you want, and everybody on this call wants to become financially independent, however you define that, if you can be clear that that is your goal, then you can look around and you can find people who at one time were not financially independent, who now are financially independent, and find out what they did. And so that's when I did it. I was like a curious kid. I mean, running from place to place. I asked other people, what are you doing differently that enables you to be successful? When I began to read books on selling and listen to audio programs and go to courses, my sales went up and up and up, and pretty soon they made me a sales manager. They said, whatever you're smoking, you should find some other guys and share it with them because it seems to be working for you. So I went out and I recruited people off the street who had never made any money in their lives before, and I said, this is how you sell. And I explained to them the process of selling and sent them out and helped them, supervised them. And many of them today are millionaires and multimillionaires and multi-multimillionaires. They own large corporations, they own businesses, they have beautiful homes, and they were poor, they were broke, they were going in circles until I showed them the relationship between the specific things you do and the specific results you get. Now, why am I talking about selling? Well, I'll come back to that in a second, but I'm talking about selling because I found the principle applied in sales management. It applied when I got into real estate development. It applied when I began building a website, which now does more than $1 million a year. I make more on my website, which is only one of several businesses that I have, than many people ever dream of making in an entire lifetime. When I got into manufacturing, when I got into importation and distribution, and then training and recording and publishing, and then international marketing, in every single case, what I would do is I would buy the magazines and books, I'd go to the experts and I'd interview them. I'd go to conferences and sit in the front row and take notes. And I kept asking, what are the keys to success in this area? One day somebody asked me if I would give a talk on self-made millionaires. And I said, well, sure, I'll give a talk on self-made millionaires. Although I was not a self-made millionaire, I was struggling in my new business. And so I sat down, I said, what do I know about self-made millionaires? And it turned out to be very little. So I began basically a 25-year study of self-made millionaires. I studied enough to be able to give an intelligent talk a few weeks later. That was very impressive. And many of those people are now millionaires today. But what I found is that self-made millionaires have specific qualities of thinking, specific qualities of acting, specific ways of reacting to their life and their world. And here is the great breakthrough. Are you ready? All business skills are learnable. All sales skills are learnable. All money-making skills are learnable. They are learnable skills. If you can drive a car, you can learn how to make all the money you want. If you can drive a car, you can learn how to build a successful business. If you can drive a car, you can learn how to sell effectively in any market. Because these are all learnable skills. Now, that was a real shock to me many years ago. And here's the second thing I learned, is once you have learned a skill, you can use it over and over again and get the same result. So once you've learned how to sell, you can sell over and over again. Once you've learned how to put together a business and offer a product at a profit, you can do it over and over again. Richard Branson said recently, he said, once you've learned how to start and build a successful business, he said, you can do it repeatedly in a variety of different businesses because the principles are all the same. If you want to make a lot of money, whatever your chosen field happens to be, once you've learned how to make the money, you just do it over and over again. Now, here's the most wonderful thing of all. Each time you do it, because of experience and knowledge and feedback, you get better. And so therefore, it takes you less and less time each time you duplicate the process. So when you start off in selling, your first sale may take you 30 or 60 or 90 days, but your second sale will only take you a couple of weeks, and your third sale will only take you a few days. And pretty soon, you're making more sales in a couple of days than you were in 90 days. In business, to make money in your business, it may take 2 years. This is the way businesses work, by the way, according to the research. It takes 2 years to learn how to break even in your business. It takes 4 years to make a profit. It takes 7 years to be extremely profitable. 2, 4, 7. So It's been tested over tens of thousands of businesses in every conceivable industry. And people say, oh, geez, that's a lot of time. Yes, but it takes a lot of time to learn how to master the technique of running a business. However, once you've mastered it, you own it for life. Once you've mastered it, no matter what happens in the external world, you'll always be able to make great money. If your existing business goes bankrupt, like a dot-com or dot-bomb or explosion or something like that, you just walk across the street, start to do business in a new industry, and wham, you're back up on top again because you know how to do it. It's almost exactly as if you were driving your car and your car packed up completely or crashed into a post and was completely destroyed. You could just walk across the street, get into another car, and just drive on. In other words, once you've learned how to do it, you can do it over and over again. And every time you do it, you get better and better. Now, there is a basic rule. People say, well, you have to have money to make money. And that is true. We'll talk about that in a little while. But it doesn't have to be your money. And it's an important point. Some of it has to be your money, and there's a reason for that. Human beings are motivated by two major motivations. One is desire for gain, to get more of whatever they want, money, sex, power, and so on. The other is fear of loss, and that's losing what they already have. But what psychologists will tell you is that the fear of loss is 2.5 times more powerful than the desire for gain. If I say, if you do this, I'll give you $1, you say, well, thank you, that's interesting. If I say, if you don't do this, I'll take $1 away from you, whoa, that is a powerful motivator because people hate to lose money. Well, why am I saying this? It's because whenever people start off to become financially independent, they're absolutely astonished that nobody will give them any money. They're absolutely astonished. I went to the bank and the bank laughed at me. I went to lenders, I went to friends, nobody will lend me any money. Well, of course not, because 99% of entrepreneurial ventures fail, and 100% of the money invested in them is lost forever. And human beings are very, very uneasy about losing money. Most businesses, as many as 99% of new businesses, are started with what is called love money. Love money is money that you either provide yourself because you love the idea, or it's provided to you by members of your family who love you, your brothers and sisters who love you, and so on. So almost all new businesses are started with love money because the fear of loss, the likelihood of loss, is so extraordinarily great. But the only way that you can get to the point where you can make money on a regular basis is by starting off slowly and losing it at the beginning and then learning how not to lose it. So when we began to study wealthy people, we find that wealthy people have a particular mindset. A very good friend of mine in Europe did years and years of research on this, and he found a couple of very interesting discoveries. One is one of the greatest breakthroughs of all, actually can make you rich. What he found is that when we are young, we receive an allowance, and we take this money and we go out and we buy candy with it, okay? And we buy candy and we eat the candy, it makes us happy. So we have a positive association with getting money, spending it, and being happy. And this positive association becomes a conditioned response, almost like when you give a cookie or a sugar lump to a dog or a horse in order to train them, they become accustomed to getting this sweet little reward each time they do something positive. As we grow up, we have this conditioned response that I get pleasure out of spending money. Spending money makes me happy. So whenever you think of money, you think of spending it. You think, if I can get some money, I'll spend it. I'll go out for dinner, I'll take a trip, I'll buy some clothes, I'll do this, I'll do that, or do something else. But in other words, we associate the acquisition of money with spending it, with blowing it, with burning it up, with giving it away, with having a good time, with taking a trip and a vacation. And if you look at the world of advertising, you find the world of advertising works on you, on this emotion, all day long. It suggests if you have the money, if you can beg it, if you can borrow it, if you can get it from a friend, if you can do anything, mortgage your house, your car, your credit cards, whatever it happens to be, then you can buy stuff. So people become conditioned right into their adult life to buying stuff. Now, I said before that the number of people who are becoming affluent is greater than any other time in human history, yet last year, 1.5 million adults went bankrupt on credit card debt. They went bankrupt burning up money that they didn't have because they associate spending money with pleasure. It's almost like a dope addiction. So what my friend in Europe found is this, is that you're wired in a particular way. And what you have to do is you have to lift up the lid and you have to rewire yourself psychologically and shift the emotion around. So from I get pleasure spending money to I get pleasure saving money. And it's an interesting and a very quick switch that you can make, because I tried it myself and I was absolutely amazed. You think, well, that'll take me a lifetime. No. What you do is you start thinking, you know, I love to save money. I love to have money. I love to accumulate money. I like the feeling of money in the bank. I like the association with it. Now, the reason I tell you this is because tens of thousands of self-made millionaires have been studied over the years by some of my dear friends like Thomas Stanley and Bill Danko, who spent 30 years studying self-made millionaires all over the country, and they interviewed them. They interviewed thousands of them for hours, and they found a most remarkable thing is that the mindset of the self-made millionaire is that I enjoy acquiring money. I enjoy saving money. The mindset of the poor person who's always broke is I enjoy spending money. So what you need to do is rewire. And the way that you rewire, and this is another thing they found out with self-made millionaires, is you ask self-made millionaires, when you think about money, what do you think about? And self-made millionaires have a particular way of thinking about money. They think in terms of what is called their survival rate. Is how long could I live without working and support my current standard of living? How long could I live without working and support my current standard of living? And that becomes the organizing principle of their lives. And sometimes they work in garages as mechanics, and sometimes they work in some other field. Sometimes they work as waitresses. But what happens is they develop this idea that my goal in life is to reach the point where I never have to work again. Now, I can work. I mean, I have the option, I have the choice, but I never have to work again. And this becomes the motivating principle of their lives, is they think in terms of having enough money so they never have to work again. So one of the things that you're going to do if you want to become financially independent is you've got to start thinking like a self-made millionaire. Self-made millionaires think in terms of acquisition, of acquiring money and holding on to it. Many years ago, a very wise man said to me, Brian, he said, you have the ability to make a lot of money. And at that time, I was just starting to make some money, but I was very shy about it. He said, Brian, he said, when you start to make a lot of money, remember this. It's not how much money you make that matters. It's how much you keep that counts. And I never forgot that. He's a very wealthy man, one of the wealthiest men, started with nothing, built a very successful business, had an inordinate influence on many people. He said, never forget. He said, it's not how much you make, but how much you keep that counts. And ever since then, I've been different. Then I studied self-made millionaires, and I realized that's how they think as well. It's not how much they make, but how much they keep. So one of the things we do with our classes is we say, first of all, calculate how much it would cost you to live comfortably at your current standard of living. So let's say your income was cut off. How much would it cost you for rent, utilities, car, food, travel, clothes, your current standard of living? So let's say it's $5,000 a month. All right, you need $5,000 net cash each month after taxes in order to support your lifestyle. Then my next question is, how many months could you survive with your current savings? And there's a lot of discomfort in the audience because the average American is two paychecks away from homelessness. The average American is two paychecks away from not being able to pay their rent or their mortgage. Most Americans are living on the cutting edge. They are basically earning it, spending it, earning it, spending it, earning it, spending it. One study said that the average American family lives on 110% of their income. And the other 10% is supplemented by loans, borrowings, remortgaging, credit cards, and things like that. Sometimes loans from family. So I said, all right, it doesn't matter where you are today. The rule is it doesn't matter where you're coming from. All that really matters is where you're going. And where you're going is to financial independence. And if you want to have big financial independence, you first of all have to have little financial independence. So we say, all right, then let's say that your goal is to have $5,000 a month. That means that you need $60,000 a year to live comfortably. All right. Now, to retire, because you are going to live to be 80 or 90 years old in today's world, to retire, you need, according to the best research, best experts, about 20 years of retirement funds. So 20 years times $60,000 is $1.2 million. If you had $1.2 million, you could live off your savings comfortably forever and never run out of money. So that becomes your target, $1.2 million. And then you work back to the present and you say, all right, how much am I worth today? And let's say you're worth zero today. You say, okay, how long is it going to take me to get to $1.2 million? You say, well, then let's say that this is today. This is the year 2005. And it's going to take me 20 years, which is about what it takes to achieve $1 million once you've decided to do it. So that means in the year 2025, I'll have to have $1.2 million. All right, that's my goal. Then you work it back to the present. You say, how much are you going to have to save, acquire, grow, put aside, and so on between now and the year 2025 per year in order to hit your target? And now you draw a straight line from where you are to where you want to go, and now you have a target. You know where you need to be in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and so on. This simple activity, which you can do on a piece of paper as we're talking, will change your life because suddenly you will see your entire financial life in a different light. Now, the only question you ask is the question, how? How do you get from where you are to where you want to go? Again, most people are starting off with very little. So what we have found is that your self-concept, how you think about yourself with regard to money, is the critical determinant of how much you earn. When I give my seminars, I will say the turning point in my life was when I realized that some people earn $20,000 a year, some $30,000, some $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $150,000. However, each person earns what they have decided to earn. Is that you're where you are and what you are financially because you have decided to be there. You have decided to earn that amount of money, exactly as if you were on your own payroll and you wrote out your own paycheck each month. And of course, everybody gets really mad at me. Oh, you can't say that. It's my boss and it's the competition. It's the market. It's my education. If you knew about my background and no. You are where you are and what you are because of your own choices and your own decisions. If you're not happy with where you are today, you have to make new choices and new decisions. If you're not happy with the amount of money that you're earning, then you have to earn more money. And the only question you ask is how? Well, how can I go about earning more money? Sometimes people say to me, well, they won't pay me more money in my field. I said, well, then what does that suggest to you? And they look at me with an open-eyed look like a deer caught in the headlights, and they say, well, you mean I have to change fields? And I said, yes, you can't make the kind of money you want to make where you are. You have to go somewhere else. Now, this doesn't mean that you quit today. It means that you start saying, well, who else in my world is making the kind of money that I want to make? And what are they doing differently from me? And if you're not sure, go and ask them. Or read their books, or listen to their audio programs, or they'll tell you. In America, we have a wide open society. Whenever anyone is financially successful, they are more than willing to tell anybody else who asks how to go about achieving it for themselves. So therefore, you say, okay, that person over there is earning twice as much as me. And twice as much is your goal. Everybody on this call should be earning at least twice as much as you're earning today. If you're not earning twice as much, then we have to figure out how to do it. We know that it's possible because there's hundreds of thousands and millions of people around you who are no more talented than you are who are earning twice as much or more. In fact, there's a lot of people around you who aren't very talented at all who are earning two or three times as much as you. There's nothing that will make you madder than to meet somebody who's making more money than you, who's dumber than you. Think about that. You see them all the time. How can that person be making more money than me? They can't find their bum with both hands. Well, it's because they're just doing certain things in a certain way. And if you do certain things in a certain way, you get the same results. So when I learned the law of cause and effect, which in the 21st century is learn and do new things. When I learned the law of cause and effect, it said that basically this, nature is neutral. If you will do what other successful people do, nothing can stop you from getting the results that other successful people get. And if you don't, nothing can help you. So I began a lifelong search, and I've done this in every single field, as I mentioned earlier, is what are the keys to success in this field? And then I threw my whole heart into doing what other successful people did in that field. And after a week, a month, a year, sometimes 3 years, I finally started to get the same results as the top people in that field. And people said, boy, you're sure lucky. You didn't know anything about that field. Well, here's another thing I learned. Everybody who is at the top of your field today was at one time not even in your field. Everybody who's at the top in any field was once at the bottom. They were all one time a newcomer. And what they did is they found out how other people succeed in that field, and they did it over and over again until they mastered it, and then they repeated it and got the same results, and then they got better and better getting the same results and so on. And what hundreds of thousands and millions of other people have done, you can do as well. And so your job is to change the way you think about money. And you begin to think in terms of financial independence. And the way you get to financial independence is you get to think in terms of saving your money. Now, there's a great article in the Wall Street Journal recently on financial success based on an examination of countless numbers of research studies. And it all came down to the same thing that every financial expert will tell you, is you need to save 10 to 20% of your income if you want to be successful. Sometimes people say, well, if you knew how many bills I had and debts and everything else, you wouldn't say that. How could I possibly do it? Well, what you do is if you can't save 10%, save 1% and learn to live on the other 99%. The good news about human beings is that human beings are creatures of habit. So therefore, if you get comfortable saving 1%, let's say you're making $5,000 a month. Well, that's $50 a month. That's $1.50 a day. Anybody can save $1.50 a day and put it in a private bank account for financial accumulation and become comfortable living on $4,950. Cut down on specialty coffees, cut down on hamburgers and Cokes and things like that. Save $1.50 a day. After a month or two, you'll be comfortable living on 99% of your income, and then you up it and you save 2% and live on 98%. Soon you'll be comfortable, then you up it to 3% and live on 97%. Within a year, you'll be quite comfortable living on 90% of your income and saving 10%. As your income goes up, by the way, here's another powerful way to become wealthy, is save 50% of your increase. Just save 50% of your increase. If you get a few hundred dollar increase in your income each year, save half of it. In other words, you can spend half to improve the quality of your lifestyle, but save half of all your increase for the rest of your career. If you save half of your increase for the rest of your career, you will end up as a millionaire. If, simultaneous with that, you live on 90% of your income and save 10%, and then 11%, 12%, so on, within about 3 years, you'll be very comfortable living on 80% of your current income, saving 20%, and saving half of your increase, and your financial estate will start to grow at an incredible rate. You know, there's that Ray Charles song that says, it takes money to make money. It's very true. And I said this before, it does take money to make money. Well, the only way that you can ever borrow money from other people is by developing the reputation for being capable of acquiring money yourself. W. Clement Stone once said that if you cannot save money, the seeds of greatness are not in you. If you cannot save money, the seeds of greatness are not in you. If you can save money, which requires a complete change of character, personality, temperament, and so on, you become the kind of person who can accumulate money and who can become rich. But if you cannot save money, you're doomed always to be poor. So just starting to save changes your whole attitude toward life. Then as you start to see your bank account growing, every time you have any kind of extra money, bonuses, income tax refunds, and so on, put them into that special account and watch it grow. And every month, take a look at that account and think, geez, I like this. I like the idea of having money in the bank. If you were watching people walking down the street, you could pick the people by looking at their faces who have money in the bank and the people who don't have any money. The people who don't have any money have a constantly worried, stressed look. They're constantly nervous, like they're under the gun of some kind. But a person who's got money in the bank is confident. They walk with a more spring in their step. They have a straighter back. They're happier. They're more relaxed with other people. When you don't have money in the bank, you actually feel inferior to people who you think are doing better than you are. When you have money in the bank, you feel equal to anybody you meet. And that has a major impact on whether people will do business with you, lend you money, get involved with you, and so on. There's an old saying that success breeds success. The more successful you are, the more other people will want to be around you and help you to be successful. So let's go to the major key to wealth creation. And this is contained in two words. And once you've learned these two words, never forget them. And the two words are add value. Add value. Add value. You see, in the main, everybody works on commission. Everybody works on commission. And people are really shocked about that because a lot of people don't like to sell, but everybody sells all day long. You sell when you wave at the person to let you in line and when you're driving. You sell when you try to convince your kids to go to bed or convince your spouse to go out for dinner rather than cooking at home. Everybody is in the business of selling and persuasion and communication and negotiating. The only question is, how good are you at it? And wonderfully enough, selling is a skill. I've worked with school teachers, and they've studied my sales materials and become absolutely excellent salespeople. Absolutely excellent at getting attention, presenting benefits, closing sales, getting kids to do things, and so on. They're absolutely astonished that sales techniques and methodologies are as learnable as riding a bicycle or using a cell phone. And once you've learned them, as I said, you can do them over and over again, and you get better and better at them. So everybody works on commission in that you get a percent of the value that you create. That's the way the world works. You get a percent of the value that you create. If you create more value, you get a bigger percent. You get a bigger piece. And so your job is to look at your world in terms of how can I create more value. We say that profit is an excess of income over expenditure. Profit is the extra value that is created in any economic process. You know, a wholesaler, for example, will buy 1,000 units and divide it up and send 100 units to each of 10 stores. By dividing up the 1,000 units, it creates value. He creates value for the store that can't possibly buy 1,000, but they can buy 100. So they'll pay more. They'll pay a premium. And the wholesaler will make a profit. You can create value by bringing a product from one place to another. You can create value by finding a product or service that will be helpful to someone and explaining to them how this will help you to improve your life or work and getting them to try it. And they try it and it works and they're willing to pay you extra money, more than it cost you, and that profit becomes your added value. So look at your world for the rest of your life in terms of adding value. How can I add more value? Now, in America, and most of the world, but in America especially, most people start with nothing. The typical immigrant who arrives at Ellis Island with all their possessions in a box tied up with string is very common. Most young people, when they come out of school, have very little. And if they do have anything, they quickly blow it and get back to zero. Most adults get back to zero about 3.2 times in the course of their lifetimes. Is they have a little, they blow it, then they have a little, and they blow it, and they have a little, and they blow it, and so on. So there's nothing wrong with starting with nothing. So how do people become wealthy? And the answer is very simply this. Virtually all fortunes in America began with the sale of personal services. All fortunes in America began with the sale of personal services. Let's take just three quick examples. Number one example, Bill Gates, richest man in America, started off with nothing, university dropout, came up with an idea for a computer program for a computer called BASICS. So what he did is he worked night and day with his friend Paul Allen, personal services, put together a program that they bought. They paid him for it and a small royalty besides. It was the start of Microsoft, the start of one of the biggest fortunes in the history of man. Even today, that's all Bill Gates does is create software that adds value to people's lives. So they're willing to pay for the software because it saves them time and increases their efficiency in whatever they're doing. Another example is Michael Dell. Here he is living in a dorm room in a college, and he begins to buy pieces of computers through the mail and assemble them and sell them to his college mates. Personal services, stayed up late at night, hour after hour, assembling little motherboards and little computers and selling them down the hall. He's now one of the richest men in the world. He's worth, what, $22 billion? Sale of personal services. Larry Ellison of Oracle started off with nothing, college degree, started off in sales, built his own company. He's now one of the richest people in the world. So everybody, self-made millionaires, all start off with the sale of personal services. So that's what you do, and you say, all right, how can I create sweat equity? Because that's really what it is. It's sweat equity. You're saying, what can I do? I don't have capital, so that if I have to use sweat, how can I add value? Then when you get a job, you look at your job and say, how can I add value to this job? How can I add value to my company? How can I make myself more valuable? And one of the things you can do is go to your boss and say, what can I do to increase my value around here? Then you look at your customers and say, what can I do to increase my value to my customers today, to my boss today, to my staff today? How can I be more valuable? And when you do this, you put yourself on the side of the angels, because the great majority of people are looking for ways to cut corners, to do the least amount of work possible, to come in at the last minute, to leave at the first minute, and so on. So look for ways to put in more than you take out. Look for ways to do more than you're paid for. The rule is, if you constantly look for ways to do more than you're paid for, you'll constantly be paid more than you're earning today. And look for ways to go the extra mile. Look for ways to start a little earlier, to work a little harder, to stay a little later, to do stuff on the weekends, to do things for your boss that your boss doesn't expect. When you do this, you put yourself on the side of the angels. Now, here's the key for you to get onto the fast track in your business or your career. If you're working for another company, it works just as well as if you're working for yourself. The principle is the same. It's called the law of three. Now, the law of three says that no matter how many things you do in a week or a month, there's only three things that you do that contribute 90% or more of all the value that your work offers. So what you do is you ask yourself this magic question. You make a list of everything you do in the course of a week or a month at your job, and then you ask yourself, if I could only do one thing on this list all day long, what one thing contributes the most value to my company or to my work? And whatever it is, put a circle around that. And then say, if I could only do two things on this list all day long, which would be number two? And if I could only do three things, which would be number three? And then what you do is you focus on doing just those three things all day long. Is you resist the temptation to do things that are fun and easy and quick and of no value, and you focus on the three big things that contribute the most. And this will bring you to the attention of people who can help you faster than anything else you can imagine. Then what you do is you concentrate on getting better and better at the most important things you do. You do more and more of them. You get better and better. You do them more often. You start earlier, work harder, stay later, until people begin to recognize that you are the most valuable person in the company. You contribute more value dollar for dollar than anyone else. And the Red Sea of opportunity will open up for you. What possibilities will open up? You'll get promoted. You'll get paid more. You'll get more responsibilities. You'll be pulled up from the top by the people above you and pushed up by the people below you. Now, the second part is make a list of everything you do, and then remember that 80% of self-made millionaires own their own businesses. 80% of self-made millionaires own their own businesses. But here's the great discovery. I have started and built a variety of businesses over the course of the year, so I've studied this at great length. I've done wonderful programs on how to start, build, manage, or turn around any business that have made people into millionaires by combining this stuff. But here's what I found is this, is they say that 80% of new businesses fail in the first 2 to 4 years. Well, they've gone back and they looked at these studies very carefully, and they find that it is true in general, but not true specifically. 90% of businesses started by people with no business experience fail within the first 2 to 4 years. The failure rate is extraordinary, which is why nobody will lend you any money to start a business if you've never started a business before. The second point they found is that 90% of businesses started by people who were good employees, good, highly productive, value-contributing employees. 90% of those businesses succeed within the first 2 to 4 years. Because why? Because the people, in being very good employees, learned how to add value. They learned how to think in terms of contributing value most of the time. So one of the things that I want you to do, if you haven't already done it, is to start your own business. 80% or more of all of your chances of becoming financially independent will be as a result of you owning your own business. Even if you own your own business as a consultant or as an advisor to other people, if you own your own business in distributing your own products, if you own your own business in owning and managing your own real estate, you've got to have a business. If you have a business, even a sole proprietorship, which can be formed basically by sitting there on the phone and saying, I've now formed my own sole proprietorship and you are now legally in business without even having to register. When you form a sole proprietorship, you suddenly see yourself in a different light. You begin to see yourself as the president of your own business. Go and make up some business cards and write the word president on your business cards. When people ask you what you do, you say, well, I work at ABC Company, but basically I'm the president of my own business. And they say, what sort of things does your business do? And you say, well, we're in real estate, investment, banking, insurance, all kinds of things, all the different things that you do. But see yourself as the president of your own business. You see, there's a great American philosophical principle that says, if you build it, they will come. If you start your own business, you will create a vacuum in the universe, and into that vacuum, you will start to draw business opportunities, opportunities to buy and to sell and to rent and to borrow and to invest. You'll begin to actually find opportunities attracted to you that would not have come your way if you had not set up your own business. And if you just try this, by the way, it works for everybody. When you have your own business, you're going to see opportunities to activate your business and make it a real entity. You can set up your business as an S corporation. Go onto the internet. For $40 or $50, you can usually register a corporation in virtually any state in the United States. It costs a little bit of money. Pick a good name that is acceptable. They'll tell you whether or not the name is available to you. Send in the basic fees, and now you have an S corporation. And an S corporation and a sole proprietorship, you can deduct 100% of all of the money that you invest to start your business against your current income. If you set up a C corporation, then you could only deduct your profits against your losses. Here's another thing that happens when you set up your own business and see yourself as the president of your own company, is that you will receive as many as $5,000 in tax benefits the very first year that you set up your own business. The bookstores are full of books on how to make money, save money as a result of owning your own business. You can deduct your gas and deduct your travel and deduct part of your meals and part of your rent and accommodation. You can deduct all kinds of incredible things that the IRS has deliberately put into the Tax Act to encourage people to start their own businesses. So therefore, you save yourself thousands of dollars a year by the very fact that you're now the president of your own company. Now, if you start your own business or you work for any other business, remember this, the way a business works is this. You find, you create, you acquire, or you offer a product or service of some kind to a customer. You sell it for a price more than the total cost of producing the product or service, and you generate a profit. With the profit, you reinvest it in the business, and you do it again, and then you do it again and again and again. And each time you generate a reasonable profit, and if you can do it often enough each year, you can create a very profitable business. Many companies actually look at the rate of turnover. In other words, how often do they resell their product or service each year? Do they have a turnover 6 times a year, 10 times a year, 3 times a year, and so on? All business sales and money-making skills are learnable. So once you've started a business, which is fairly hard initially, once you have mastered it, you can do it over and over again. Now, there's some critical questions you need to ask when you start a business. And these critical questions have to do with your customers. The most important qualities that you need to start a business are courage and skill. The number one reason that people don't become financially independent is because they're afraid. They're afraid they might lose their money. They're afraid they may make a mistake. They're afraid that people may disapprove of them. They're afraid that they'll be rejected if they offer a product or service. And so people say, well, how do you develop the confidence to start your own business? And here's what I have learned that was a real shocker to me, is that if you do the thing you fear, the death of fear is certain, is that courage comes from doing the thing you're afraid to do. Please let me repeat that. Many people think, well, as soon as I have the confidence, I'll start my own business. No, what you do is you start your own business and the confidence comes afterwards. You do what you're afraid of and the courage comes afterwards. And it's the same with skills. Well, I want to go out and sell my product or service, or I want to make an application to the bank or so on, but I don't know how to do it. What you do is you do the thing that you need to be good at and the skill comes afterwards. You make the call on the customer and the skill of selling comes afterwards. You start your business and the skill of running a business comes afterwards. If you wait until you have the courage and the skill, you will never, ever begin, and you'll never succeed. So what you do is you say, this is what I want to do, and this is what I would do if I already had the courage, and then you act as if you already had the courage. You act as though it were impossible to fail. You act as though you already have the skill, and the courage and the skill will come afterwards. So in a business, if you want to start your own business, there's a series of simple steps, and I work with some of the Fortune 500 companies, and the same questions and considerations are relevant to Fortune 500 companies as they are to an individual starting a business of any kind. And here are the questions that you ask. And you ask and answer these questions accurately, because if you are wrong with the answers to these questions, you will take the wrong turn and you will get lost in the business jungle. Question number one is, who is my customer? Who exactly is your customer? Who is your customer going to be? Who is your ideal customer for your product or service? And who is your perfect customer for your product or service? They spend $1 billion a year on market research in America, and it's all around this question. Who exactly is the customer who will buy and pay for this product or service? You have to be absolutely crystal clear about this before you take the first step. Now, question number two is, why does he buy, or she? Why does the customer buy? Why would the customer buy this product at all? Why would the customer buy this product from me? In other words, why would they not buy it from someone else? You have to know exactly why customers would buy the product or service before you begin to offer it. Third question is, what specific benefits does the customer seek from buying my product or service? Not general benefits, but what specific results, benefits, changes, improvements does the customer demand as a result of buying and using my product or service? And will my product or service give this customer what he or she wants? Question number four in business is, how does my product or service improve his or her life? You see, people only buy a product or service to improve their life and their work in some way. So you must be crystal clear not only how your product or service will improve the life or work of your customer, but how it will bring about the greatest single improvement and in what specific area. You have to know that in order to make an effective presentation, in order to persuade the person to buy from you. Now, question number 5 is, why doesn't he buy? What are the reasons that a customer would give you for not buying? Why do they hold back? Why do they hesitate? Why do they say, I'm not interested, or not now, or call me at another time? What's blocking, or what blocks a customer from buying from you? Next question is, number 6 is, who or what are your competitors? What else does or would your customer buy? What competitive product or service would your customer buy rather than buy from you, and why? What do they see in a competitor's product or service that they don't see in yours? What benefits do they feel that they're going to get from buying something else rather than from buying yours? And how could you neutralize these benefits? How could you offset them? How could you compensate for the perceived benefits that customers might get somewhere else? Again, if you can't answer this, it's impossible to sell enough for you to stay in business. Now, question number 7, and this is the question that you build your entire business and future around, is the question, what is my unique selling proposition? What is it that you offer that nobody else offers? What is it that you offer that is unique and special and different, that nobody else has, that makes your product or service more desirable than any other similar product or service on the market? Now, I can tell you this, having worked with more than 1,000 corporations, 90% of them don't know. 90% of them do not know what makes their product, service, or company unique and special. When I work with individuals like yourselves, I ask, what is your unique selling proposition? What is it that you do in your work that makes you unique, special, different, superior to that of anybody else? And people have to do a lot of thinking to think, what are my special talents and abilities? What is it that I do better than anyone else? What is it that I do that enables me to demand to be paid well? What is it that I do that adds value more and better than anyone else? And if not, what could it be? What should it be? What talents do I need to develop so that I do add more value than anyone else in my field? What is your competitive advantage? In what way is your product or service competitive and superior to that of any other product or service? What is your area of excellence? What is your area of differentiation? These are the critical questions on which you build your life and on which you build the life of your products and services, on which you build the life of your company or your business. So here's a rule in selling is dedicate 80% of your efforts to selling, to new customer acquisition. Spend 80% of all of your time once you've started your own business calling on new customers. Don't get bogged down in paperwork. Dun & Bradstreet did a study recently after they had run thousands of companies that had gone broke through their computers, and they came up with an interesting conclusion. They concluded that companies succeed because of high sales. Companies fail because of low sales. And everything else is commentary. So the most important thing you do if you're going to start and build your own business is to get out face-to-face with people, because often the unique talent, quality, and skill that you bring to your business and your life is your ability to interact effectively with other people. And the more you interact with other people, the better and more effective you become. When you start your own business, start small. Test each step carefully. Grow slowly. Be cautious. Preserve your cash at all times. Be careful with money. Remember, once you start a business, you find yourself surrounded by piranhas, like a bleeding ox in the Amazon. All the other little businesses and advertisers and printers will surround you and try to just tear you to pieces. You must be very, very cautious with every penny. Keep accurate records when you start your own business. Write down every single income and expenditure. Keep an accurate track. Set up an accounting system. Know where your money comes from. Know where your money goes. Always have a good sense for exactly how much you have today, how much you have coming in, how much you have going out. This is one of the most important sixth senses of the entrepreneur. Always concentrate on net profits. Don't think in terms of volume. Don't think in terms of the size of the sale. Always think in terms of the profit, the net profit that you will make from each business activity. Many companies actually go broke on high volume because they don't realize it's actually costing them as much or more to service the customer than they're actually earning. Focus on cash flow. Peter Drucker said that cash flow is the most important single number in the life of any business. Cash flow is the most important single number in becoming wealthy. If you want to achieve money, 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 if you want to add high levels of value, focus on cash flow. Keep your eye on the cash flow. Every single day, you should know exactly how much money you have at every level. And finally, going to Marvin Davis, a self-made multi-billionaire, he was asked, what are your secrets of financial success? How have you been able to be so successful? And he said, well, I have two rules with regard to financial success. He said, number one is don't lose money. He said, rather than losing money, it's better that you leave the money in the bank. He said, rule number two is whenever I get tempted, I refer back to rule number one. And this is one of the most important things I've ever learned in business. Don't lose money. If you have the attitude that you can afford to lose a little money on advertising or promotion or marketing or something else, you're going to lose a lot of money. Don't ever fall victim to what is called the fallacy of large numbers. Well, if I run this ad and only one people in 1,000 replies, I'll make a lot of money. Yeah, what if zero people reply, which is normally what will happen? So therefore, don't lose money. When in doubt, always go back to rule number one, don't lose money. Now, two other areas where people will ask me questions about how can you make a lot of money. One is the stock market. Now, I've studied the stock market. I was a stockbroker many years ago. I was a financial advisor for many years. I had 95 people working for me. I sold millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars of financial investment. I've had millions of dollars in and out of the stock market. So I know the stock market extremely well. But here's the bottom line. Except in boom times, which we don't have today, 80% of the stock market experts, people who are the finest educated, people who work 40, 50, 60 hours a week on Wall Street, who have access to the best information in the history of the world on finances, do not outperform the indexes. A gentleman wrote a book some years ago called A Random Walk Down Wall Street, and he said that you could take and throw a series of darts at a page of the New York Times and buy the stocks where those darts hit, and you will outperform 80% of the finest money managers in the world, because virtually all stock market investing is speculative. It is almost like gambling at roulette, because there's no way to predict that stocks will go up or down. The finest minds in the world are attempting to do it. So you look at self-made millionaires, you find that the average self-made millionaire, according to the Wall Street Journal, which, by the way, which represents the major corporations of the world, spends 6 minutes a day checking their financial investments. They do not day trade. They do not go in and out of the market. They do not speculate. They don't gamble. They store their money carefully in value stocks, high-quality stocks that have been around a long time, and they get back to running their businesses. Warren Buffett today, by the way, says there's nothing to buy. He's sitting on $27 billion. He said there's nothing to buy because there's nothing that is good enough value to justify going out of cash. Even though in cash he's only making 1% or 2%, he said it's still a better investment than anything in the stock market today. So I'm not denigrating stock markets. I'm just saying that the very best advice is if you're going to invest in the stock market, invest in an index fund. An index fund is a fund that buys an equal proportion of all the shares in a particular industry or a particular industry group. There's a Standard & Poor's index fund that buys equal proportion in all 500 shares in the Standard & Poor's, and it has outperformed almost all the mutual funds in the world in the last 25 years. So therefore, if you're going to invest in the stock market, be very, very cautious. And index funds are the safest and most predictable of investments. Trading stocks doesn't add value. And that's the reason why stock market investing is not a great place for you to become rich, because you don't add any value by buying and selling stocks. You only make money by buying value. And that brings us to real estate. Now, today, real estate markets are as hot as firecrackers in many parts of the country. In other parts, they're still reasonably flat. But in some places, they're very hot. Sometimes they're too hot. The price that people are paying for real estate today cannot be justified by the amount that you could rent that property for. There's a whole series of rules of thumbs, and I've written hundreds of pages on the subject. But the bottom line is this. Real estate is a major source of wealth in America. But if you're going to get into real estate, you usually have to have the money to get in and the money to stay in. People say, well, you can buy real estate with no money down. There's ads in the paper recently about you can buy real estate at 40% off its value if you buy it from estate sales where someone has died. Well, the assumption there is that the person who owns the property now that someone has died is mentally retarded, stupid, knows no real estate agent, and has no idea of what the property is worth in the current market. So therefore, if you walk in with an offer that's 40% below the market, that person is so dumb, they'll just turn it over to you without asking anybody or getting any advice. If you believe that that is a good likelihood, well, then that's a place where you might try to speculate. I have a good friend who teaches how to buy real estate with no money down. One of the smartest guys in the world. Best-selling books on the New York Times best-selling list. And he's a multimillionaire in buying and trading properties. He has made all of his money, by the way, in buying well-chosen properties that were well-priced and then renovating them and fixing them up and then renting them out at a higher rate than they could earn before because they're cleaned up, and taking that higher rate and borrowing against the property and getting most of his money out and then taking the money and doing it again. He has made very little money flipping properties. And what he says is that if you want to buy property with no money down, the most important thing that you require is what is called a motivated seller. A motivated seller is a person who basically is in a panic to sell the house. They want to sell the house so fast that they'll turn it over to you for no cash if you will just simply take over the existing mortgage and promise to pay them some money later on in the form of a second mortgage. A motivated seller is a person who's going through a divorce, very distraught, has just been fired, has gone bankrupt, is being moved back to east by his or her company, has a death in the family, and so on. So if you can find someone like this who is very, very eager to get out of the house as fast as they can, sometimes they will actually sell you the property for no money down. However, here's what my friend says. He calls it the 110-1 rule, is you have to look at 100 houses and talk to the owners before you find 10 where you have motivated buyers. You have to make 10 offers on those houses before you find one that you can buy. So he said it takes 100 houses of investigation, which will take anywhere from 2 to 3 months, working every single day, evening and weekend, for you to find 100 houses, for you to find one that you can buy. But once you buy the house, if you do get it with no money down, here's the kicker. You now have to close the sale. You have to pay for the transfer fees. You have to arrange for the bank financing and the lending points. You then have to clean up the house, which may cost several hundred or several thousand dollars. You then have to rent the house, which means you have to take out advertising and rent it. Sometimes you have to pay commissions and fees to the person who finds the tenant. So therefore, it's very hard to do nothing with no money. And when people tell you that you can start with no money and suddenly start generating thousands of dollars on closing, you must be very careful. There's an old rule that says that when a man with money meets a man with experience, the man with experience is going to end up with the money, and the man with the money is going to end up with the experience. So the very best way to get into real estate is to save out of your income to demonstrate that you have the financial capability of saving, that the seeds of greatness are in you, and then to find a home that you can buy with a very low or no down payment, and you have the cash to fix up, and engage in what is called buy 'em, fix 'em. Now, buy 'em, fix 'em is one of the greatest of all success strategies, and I know many people who've become millionaires with buy 'em, fix 'em. Starting off at a very low level, you buy a house that needs work. They call a house that needs TLC, or tender loving care. You buy the house, you move into it. You fix it up, you put in new carpets, you paint it, you do the landscaping, paint the outside, clean it up, and then rent it out for an amount that pays for not only the mortgage and the taxes, but a little bit extra besides, and put a tenant into the house and take the money and go on to the next house and do it again. Over the course of a year, 5 years, 10 years, the houses will pay for themselves. They will increase in value, the rents will go up, your cash flow will increase, and at the end of 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you'll end up with 20, 30, 40 houses, thousands of dollars a month in cash flow, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month in equity, and you'll never have taken a risk. Now, does that seem like a long time? Yes, but remember this, the time is going to pass anyway. The time is going to pass anyway. So let me round off this talk on money, money, money with 5 don'ts and 5 do's, all right? Here's the first don't. Don't seek easy money or get-rich-quick schemes or ideas. These are for suckers, and everybody who follows them ends up broke and starting over again. Remember, number 2 is don't look for rewards without working. If anybody tells you it's possible to make a lot of money without working your heart out, then grab your money and run. 85% of self-made millionaires say that the reason they became millionaires is because they worked much harder than other people. Not talent, not ability, not education, just hard, hard work. Number three is don't expect someone else to do it for you. Don't trust that someone else is somehow going to take care of all the details and you're going to end up with the money, because that never happens. Number four is don't trust to luck and don't hope for miracles. Napoleon Bonaparte was once asked if he believed in luck. And he said, yes, I do. He said, I believe in bad luck and I believe that I will always have it and I plan accordingly. In business, when everybody wants to make more money and they want to make your money, always trust to luck, but bad luck, and believe that you're going to have it and plan accordingly. Don't trust that somehow you're going to get a lucky break, because it just doesn't happen. And the fifth don't is don't expect to be successful the first time. Remember, it takes a lot of trial and error and experimentation before you will master your craft and learn how to make a lot of money over and over again for the rest of your life. So expect to fail a few times on the way through. And when you do, you just simply pick yourself up and say, huh, what can I learn from this experience that will make me smarter next time? And then just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and try again. So here's the five do's for becoming wealthy. The first do is study and understand every aspect of the investment. Take the time, invest as much money, as much time understanding the investment as you spent earning the money that you're about to invest in it. Always take the time to be able to understand it thoroughly. Warren Buffett refused to go into technology and still does, refused to go into dot-coms and still does, because you know what he said, one of the smartest men in the world, he said, I just don't understand how money is made in those industries. I don't understand how they add value in those industries, and until I understand that, I'm not going to invest any money in it. Here's one of the smartest men in the world would not invest if he didn't thoroughly understand the investment. The second do is look for ways to add value, to increase value, to put in more than you get out, to make it more valuable for other people so they're willing to pay a premium in order to enjoy your product or your service. The third do is get rich slow. Get rich a dollar at a time, $5 at a time. All long-term serious money in America is slow money. It's money that's made slowly over the years, carefully accumulated, put aside, carefully preserved, preserved from risk or loss. The fourth do is be frugal. Be careful, be thoughtful with your money. The number one quality of self-made millionaires in America is that they practice frugality, frugality, frugality when it comes to money. They're always very careful with their money. The number one reason for people who are broke is they blow their money without thinking about it. And finally, the number five do is save 10% to 20% of your income every month and invest it carefully. If you can discipline yourself to save 10 to 20% of your income, put it away carefully, invest it strategically, don't look for get-rich-quick schemes, then there's nothing in the world that can stop you from becoming financially independent. There's nothing that can stop you from becoming a millionaire. And I hope you do. Thank you very much. Now, I'd like to give you a free gift as a way of saying thank you for being a loyal supporter of mine and a determined continuous learner. So find out what I've been working on lately and receive your special at www.briantracy.com/learner. That's www.briantracy.com/learner. Just go there right now and see what I've got for you. Thanks again for listening. I look forward to talking to you and maybe even seeing you soon.